It's Sunday morning, and that wonderfully relaxed feeling of a long, lazy day lingers in the air. If you want to make the moment last, may I suggest the perfect solution? The Martin Sheen Podcast. Join me, your host, Martin Sheen, for beautifully crafted 20-minute programs filled with never-before-heard stories of my life, along with personal reflections and poetry that inspires. The Martin Sheen Podcast is the perfect Sunday refresh, a chance to take a deep breath, relax, and know that the stress of Monday may be just around the corner, but not here, not now. So make this your weekly moment of calm as we explore faith, hope, love, and what it means to be human. And know this, this journey is ever unfolding as I invite you to see what's next with me, Martin Sheen, and thank you.
Welcome to the first Start Me Up podcast of 2026, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest and my first guest of the year is writer Sarah Wood. Unfortunately, we have to discuss the events that have taken place in the last several days. And it's not good, but we're going to do our best to navigate and we're going to do our best to not get bogged down in the negativity. Before we get started, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Sarah Wood. Welcome back to the show, Sarah.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Happy New Year, if we can even say that, right?
Yeah, it's a new year.
Yeah, it's a new year. Okay.
It's a new year.
Yeah, that's what we could say. Yeah. And obviously some really fucking horrible things have happened in this new year, but we're not going to start off with that. We're just going to, you know, kind of ease into all of the horribleness. And there is so much of it. I do want to say, though, before we even start anything, you know, I said something in the intro, and I think it's just really important that when we're talking about all of this fascist cruelty and violence and death and all of it, I think we have to, at least for me, I will speak for myself. I will be making the biggest effort this year to not allow all of this negativity to just completely steal my joy, steal my hope, steal my fight. And it's really, you know, and then for those of you listening who feel defeated, you know, it's totally understandable. Take whatever time you need. Love yourself. Do good things for yourself. Keep yourself healthy as possible. And, you know, and then when you're feeling better, get back into it. But I mean, I think it's just really important that we try to maintain, I don't want to say a positive outlook, but at least a hopeful one, and one where there is a better way of life. You know what I mean? I think that's really important. And that's going to be my effort to do that, at least this year. So did I lose you?
Nope, I'm here. Oh. I was totally with you. I know it's so hard to think about like good things and mm-hmm. like making the world a better place when you're just kind of watching it burn around you. But if we give up, then the people that normally give up are definitely going to give up, and we keep going. We just keep going. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to put a pin in this and come back to it, but I just wanted to ask you, how was your holiday?
My holiday was interesting. so my birthday is right before Christmas.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I had an interesting holidays because I got my gallbladder out for my birthday.
Right. So, I saw your post. That's right.
Yeah, so that was an interesting. So I basically spent the holidays recovering and just laying around and watching movies and eating a lot of food,
which isn't that bad.
No.
Yeah, I mean, ours was, for me, I think the highlight was my decorating. I'm just like, I love the I decorated. I think it was on November 23rd because I wanted to get in it, you know, I wanted early so I could have these decorations for as long. And it's funny because there's this girl that I watch. I call her a girl. She's probably around 33, so she's a girl to me. I'm 57, but she lives in my area and she has this channel on YouTube, and it's basically just like a lifestyle channel, and she's soothing. You know, and I, she like does home decor and just day in the life kind of a thing. So she was decorating her tree this year with big red velvet balls, and I wanted to do that, but you know, I waited too long, and the balls that I could find were just, they were so big, and they were individually so expensive, like $10 to $15 per. And I'm like, fuck that shit. So I wound up decorating my tree mostly red, you know, with mostly red stuff. It was like the prettiest tree I've ever decorated ever. So I loved it. And then the rest of it was just regular family, you know, nothing over the top, just kind of relaxing. So, you know, that's what we did for the holidays, and now they're over, and now it's back to reality.
Now it's just I call it the cold times, where it's like before Christmas and New Year's, you're like, you enjoy the holiday spirit, but then it's like then it's January. And then I live in New England, so it feels like January until May. So it's just cold. It's the cold times.
Yes, it's the cold times. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to what we were talking about. Take a little break to have some fun. That was a little bit of fun, kind of whatever, but now we're going to get into it because it was just, we have to face this, we have to deal with it. And I want to kind of add on to what I was saying in that if we're going to succeed, we have to have a fighting spirit. And so, you know, as I have been navigating this in the last year was so difficult for me, and it took me a really long time to kind of get my bearings, and I feel like I'm back to my bearings, but I still do not feel I don't know. I don't even, you know, something happened last year when that election, or I should say in 2024, something changed. And for me, it changed a lot of things personally, just on how I view what I do and everything. But regardless, when I try to promote not getting bogged down by the fear, I get a lot of people yelling at me, and they're like, don't tell me how to feel. And, you know, I don't know, lots of doom. And I like to just bring up, first of all, I'm never going to tell anyone how to feel. You have to feel the way you're going to feel. But I like to encourage people to, you know, use their feelings and use their grief, use their fear, all of it, use their anger, and to push. Because I always go back to Harriet Tubman. You know, she didn't sit around complaining when things were bad. Here's a black woman who I found out had like migraine headaches her whole life, and suffered physical issues, you know, where things weren't easy for her. Yet she became part of the Underground Railroad and helped slaves, you know, get out of slavery. So I just feel like we need to look at somebody like her. And anytime you start feeling too sorry for yourself or too afraid, say, what would Harriet Tubman do? You know, I mean, there's the whole what would Jesus do? But it's like, did she sit around and say, oh my God, it's all over. Oh my God, that, you know, they won, oligarchs won, and then keep coming up with all these arguments as to why we're all going to lose? I can't do it. And so I
No, I
just,
can't
you
do
know,
that either. Yeah,
no.
I'm with you. Yeah, we can't have this like negative. I mean, things are shitty. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But it's about what we do. Are we just going to lay down and take it,
Yeah.
or are we going to get up and fight? And I'm definitely,
We
you
have to
know,
fight.
I have to
It's our
fight. I
home.
have to fight. And so I just start doing things. And if I'm doing things where I feel like I'm even if it's messaging, getting things out there, telling the truth, we're doing something. We're not
Yeah.
just being like, everything is awful. And I'm
Right.
just like, yeah, everything is awful. What are you doing about it?
Right. Yes, and I mean, I don't want to be this person. I mean, I'm always going to be pushing this, and you know, I ran down some of the topics that we were going to go over prior to recording, but I'm just going to throw something in here, and I'm going to be as brief as I can about it. But most of you know, most of my listeners know, and I'm not going to get, so don't worry, I'm not going to get too woo-woo or spiritual or anything. But in the past 6 years, I've, you know, outside of my political interests, I've had interest into who we are, who our consciousness is, the quantum field, manifesting our realities, all these kinds of things. And I will say that the most important thing that I've learned, that I can speak to atheists, I can speak to Catholics, I can speak to Jewish people, whoever. This has nothing to do with what you believe as far as your, you know, dogma, religious ideology, any of it. I think that one of the things that, you know, one of the things that I've benefited, it's like giving me coping skills that I didn't get when I went to therapy. And I'm not poo-pooing therapy because I think therapy is great and I loved going to therapy. But when I went to therapy, my therapist basically just listened to me. And I think that was probably fine in the time that it was happening because I wasn't like depressed. I was just going through stress and I needed to vent. So she just let me vent. But I have learned through all this stuff I've been going over in the past 6 years, you know, one of the best ways that I cope with all of this is recognizing that all the feelings that I'm feeling, because like we get scared, right? For myriad reasons. I'm scared because I'm in front of a microphone speaking out against fascism in a fascist country, because we're a fascist country now. And that's frightening to me. And, you know, it's frightening because Bob does it and he has a much bigger audience than I do. So I worry more for him. But I also recognize that the fear that I'm going through, and I, of course, there's practical things to look at and you want to make good practical choices. But you first want to come from a place of kind of calm. You don't want to make your decisions out of fear. So I just keep reminding myself that everything that I'm experiencing and feeling is temporary and it's not really who I am. It's just something I'm feeling. And while that may seem trite or duh, a lot of times we take on our fears. We identify as our fears. And when we include that in our identity, it's like that's where we make choices from. So if you're identifying as someone who is just, you know, depressed and angry and sad. And of course you feel all those things. I'm not saying no one should feel. I mean, that's what we feel. But I think it's important to not make our decisions from those states, to just kind of let them flow through us. And I'm gonna say this one thing and then I won't say anything, you know, more about it. But there's this idea. I heard this, said this on my patrons only show too, but I heard this guy talking and this was so cool because he said, you know, when something good is happening, you don't resist it. You just kind of allow it to happen. And especially when it's really exciting, you know, you're at first you're all up and into it and woohoo, woohoo. And then, you know, over time it just starts to dissipate and you don't feel so excited anymore because it's naturally run its course. But oftentimes when there's something stressful or upsetting to us, we don't let it run its course. We grip it with our fear, with our anger, whatever it is. We hold on to it and we keep running over it in our heads and it doesn't dissipate. It just keeps building. And so that's one of the things, like yesterday, it was so difficult. And we're going to talk about this in a second. But yesterday after ICE murdered that woman and then all the video was coming out and, oh my God, I've seen pictures that I don't want to see. And we've all seen so much ugliness. I just, you know, I basically allowed myself to feel what I needed to feel. And I still feel it. It's not like it's dissipated and it's gone, that my grief for her or what's happened is gone. But I'm just letting it be. I'm recognizing that I don't like it, but I'm just allowing it to run through. And whatever I feel, sometimes I cry, sometimes I get angry, but I just allow it all and I'm not resisting it. And I, you know, for what it's worth, anybody out there, it helps me. It helps me because over time, it's not building and festering in me to the degree where I'm causing myself to be so stressed out that I can't deal with it. I mean, I don't know. Like, how do you deal with this kind of stuff?
I think I'm a lot like you, honestly, where I kind of deal with it. I drive a lot of people crazy that way because I do deal with my emotions when I'm feeling them.
Yeah.
I always say, like, feel your feelings. Because I was kind of raised the way to kind of like box everything in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let people know what you're feeling. We got to be demure. You know, we have to be, you know, polite, you know, very
right.
White Christian, Protestant, you know. And then I grew up and then became liberal and got angry. But it's okay. But it's okay because it's like, I just think about, like, even locally, like there was a mayor's race last year and the Democrat won, which is great, but I don't like the guy. I think he's a jerk. I don't like how he got into power. And he knows it. He knows I don't like him. And so what I did was just kind of like hold his feet to the fire and help, like basically be like, listen, we're here and you're not just going to walk into this role and not and ignore us. So I think it's like what I'm trying to get at is like when I feel those feelings, I'm not only feeling them, but I'm trying to like manifest and use that to the betterment of others around me.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to keep bringing up was Indivisible because they have all kinds of ways to participate in your community that has nothing to do with elections or voting or whatever, but ways to help your community, which is a way to fight and combat fascism. So, I think it's so important that we use everything that we're feeling, not deny it. We can't, when you try to deny it, that's resisting it. When you try to pretend you don't feel the way you feel, or you just try to push it away or whatever, it just doesn't go away. It seems like it almost multiplies and it gets worse. So yeah, allow yourself to feel what you're gonna feel. Feel all the feels and use those feelings because we need everybody in this. We need everybody to step up. The fascists are gonna do. They're going to go extreme. They're going to get more extreme this year because they know 26 is coming. But let's talk about Renee Nicole Good. And there are so many awful things about this. I mean, you've seen it all over the internet, and you saw how, like there's pictures of where the tires were, turned away from the ice guy. All the claims that they made about her were untrue. Now, I don't know what I've heard stories, and maybe you know more than I do on this, but I heard she was just driving through. Do you know why she was there in the first place?
I don't, but I did watch the videos where she was waving the officers around her. She was like, go ahead, go. And then they stopped. So she was like, I'm just picturing her as myself, like what I would have done in that situation, which was exactly what she did. She's like waving the officers around. And then when they stopped and didn't do anything, she was like, okay, then I'll go. And so she went. And then apparently that man with no training and a fear of whatever, just was like, yeah, I'm gonna shoot her because, she was nowhere near him. Like she was driving past him and he didn't like her getting away for whatever reason. And he shot her and he killed her. And
In the
he's a
fucking
murderer.
face.
He's a fucking murderer. He's a fucking murderer. And everyone's like, I get yelled at by my mother still. I'm 45 for saying the word fuck. And I'm just like, if the word fuck, and this isn't aimed at my mother, this is at other people. If the word fuck offends you, I'm giving my mom a pass. She's in her 70s. If the word fuck offends you more than a woman being shot in the face, like you're the problem. Like you're the fucking problem.
Yes, and it's and then there's the whole thing of the ICE doc. I mean, there was a doctor there, and ICE wouldn't let the doctor help her. And I go, I have a MAGA family member, and I fucking think of her every single time shit like this happens. And basically, what I do is, I imagine telling her my perception. And then her coming back with her, Fox, she doesn't watch Fox News. She watches Newsmax or whatever fucking bullshit thing that she's watching, worse than Fox News. And, I can only imagine what she would come, and I can't deal with it. And I wish I didn't do that in my head, but it happens every fucking time. I think something horrible happens, and I think how she would defend it. And it makes me crazy. And we're seeing all over the place that MAGA is defending her murder. They're getting their cues from the fascist overlords and basically puppeting them.
Well, they're all saying, yeah, they're all saying the same thing. They're all, because I've been on like all the different platforms looking at the comments, just like browsing through, and I'm like, they're all saying the same thing that he had every right to defend himself. She should have complied. And I'm like, wow, Nazi. Okay, she should have complied. What was she supposed to? They told her to drive, so she drove. And when she didn't, yeah, when she didn't, yeah, anyway.
And then I mean, I keep the like what one of the visuals that I saw. I mean, unfortunately, somebody posted a visual of her, and I saw it, and I wish I didn't. But I think the thing that is haunting me the most is I don't know if you saw it, but it was the her back seat and like the back of the driver's seat was just all children's toys.
Yeah.
They fucking orphaned her son
they
because
did.
I believe the father died in 2023. So I thought I don't I saw reports that she had three children. And then I don't know if it's three or one, but I do know that at least with a six-year-old son, that the son was orphaned. And, you know, I just fucking J.D. Vance is saying that they're going to get more people to and you know, what are more ICE members? And it's like they're not vetting these people. It's just anybody who wants to walk around killing. Here's a gun.
It's a Gestapo. It's absolutely the Gestapo. It's not even subtle. It's what it is. They are going around. They are a secret police going around and
you've got like millions
arresting
of people,
and killing people.
Yeah, and millions of people cheering it on.
Which is, I always wondered how Nazi Germany came to power.
Right. Yeah. And well, we're watching it now.
We're watching it right now.
Although I will say this, I'm not being Pollyanna about this in any way, but I seriously do not believe we're going to go into Nazi Germany. I mean, I know we're going to have our own experience of, you know, God only knows what we're going to see between now and the midterms, because you know they're afraid. You know they're all afraid of the midterms. And I believe part of what's happening is the handlers of Donald Trump recognize that he's not a healthy man. He talks in gibberish a lot of the time. He's still able to, you know, speak in some coherent sentences. He still seems like he has some of his mental capacity. But it's fading very quickly. And I think what they're doing is just ramming as much as Project 2025 in as they can before, you know, whatever it would be, whether it's, you know, he has a heart attack and kills over, or, you know, he can't even speak in a coherent sentence anymore. I don't know. I know that last year, I didn't think that he would necessarily make it through the year. There were other people who made there were a bunch of people who thought it was maybe in February of this year. And there is a guy on Instagram I've talked about, and I don't remember his name, so sorry, but he's a doctor who's giving Trump, from what he can see, nobody knows for sure. Nobody can ever predict, you know, anybody's demise, but basically 2 to 4 months. And he says that's, you know, in the land of the living, or if he's 25th Amendment out or can't speak, whatever. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen this year, but I do think that I always put it, this is how I always look at it. When it's someone I don't like, so Donald Trump, I don't like this man and he's sick. And so if I say, oh, he looks sick, he doesn't have long, people will act like, oh, you know, people will kind of think that it's hopeful because I don't like him. And I would say, if he were my father and I loved him, what would I think? I would be really fucking concerned, you know, if he were my father.
Where are his kids, by the way? Like,
but is there any love? I don't think so.
that's a good point. Well, I he doesn't look well. And I honestly think if he wasn't getting the best care in the world,
Probably be dead by now.
Probably be dead. Have you looked at him recently? His face looks like a gray green, like with his makeup, like they're trying to cover his face.
And it's I haven't seen the gray green part. And I try not to see him.
It's more like, it's definitely his makeup, but then it's like this like grayish, gray, like it's not like obvious, but it's like if you look, you're like, he is not well. His eyes.
The guy is sick and it's obvious. And it's not from my mouth to God's ears. Again, it's obvious to everybody.
No, like, it's obvious. It's like, you go back to 2016 and look at videos.
Yeah.
Or even 4 years ago.
Totally different.
Yeah. Totally different. He had energy. Still a dick. We still hated him. But like, he had energy and this like.
And he could speak coherently.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, I mean, before the election, he was jerking off or actually performing fellatio in a microphone and talking about, I won't let this go, talking about Arnold Palmer's penis, how big it was and how inappropriate it is that that's what a presidential candidate would be talking about after he had been convicted of 34 felonies and after he had basically been determined a rapist by a jury of his peers. I mean, I just think it's obvious. So it's not from my mouth to God's ears. It's not just a hopeful thinking. It's obvious. The whole fucking internet is waiting for him to die. We've been waiting for him to die since the election.
And they've been propping up JD a lot more lately. Like normally VPs, like you don't hear from them. They're like,
right.
like you don't
That's
hear about
why.
him. And they're propping up JD, and they're also propping up Erica Kirk, which is,
Yes, they are. Now, we didn't plan on talking about that, but you know what? That's some fuzzy shit right there. You know, I mean, I can't sit here with any real knowledge of what's going on, but let's just look at how it went. So her husband gets shot in the throat, and I swear to God, I saw a video of that, and I just wish I didn't, because when I say it, I see it. Anyway, so her husband, I mean, I
Same.
feel like I grieved Charlie Kirk more than she did, and
Yeah,
I fucking
I
hated
felt
him.
I hated him, and but I was like, no one deserves to go like that. So
No,
fucking so
no.
fucked
And
up.
oh, and I mean, he had kids, and I mean, I don't, his kids are innocents, and I would never wish that on anyone. But
No.
it's like, okay, so you have this situation where this woman, the father of her children, is shot in the neck, and like 3 minutes later, she's in sparkly outfits in pyrotechnics, you know, basically
Weird.
pressing her boobs up against JD Vance and saying, you know, and cradling his head in her hands. And running around saying how much he reminds her of her late husband. That's kind of, and then at the same time, JD Vance is talking about his wife wishing she would be a Christian, and how whites don't have to apologize anymore. Yeah, it's all really weird how this
Super
is
weird.
unfolding.
And I try not to get too conspiratorial
How
about it,
can you
but
not?
how can you not? It's just like, what the fuck?
I grieve animals more than she grieved her dead husband.
Well, she did that selfie, like that video right after, where she was like stroking his dead body, supposedly.
Oh my
And
God.
it was like, I'm like, what are you doing? This is your time to grieve. Like, the pyrotechnics, all of that. It was
Right.
just
And the
really,
sparkly outfits and all the makeup and the constant looking up to God.
And you didn't hear from Charlie's family
No.
either.
Right.
It was a show. It was a show. And I mean, my conspiratorial mind will say, I think it was planned. But
Yeah, I mean,
that's for
I
another
don't.
day.
Yeah, and I've heard the theory, you know, the internet theory that J. Okay, so like obviously J. No one likes JD, and they all knew it. But I think with Charlie Kirk, he was, you know, developing this huge audience, and they wanted that audience, and so I don't know,
Absolutely.
like some kind of a plan to get Erica in the mix of all of this, bringing along Charlie's. I don't know. I can't remember exactly what the theory is, but I just know that they want to can't remember if it was split, if there was some kind of split from Trump or whatever it was, but that they want like j that something about, you know, the Kirk people didn't like Vance so much, or where this is a way to bridge that gap. I don't
And they were
know.
all over Epstein too.
Yes.
Charlie
Oh,
was
that's
about.
right. That's
It
right.
was the
Okay, there
Epstein
you go.
stuff,
That's it.
and it was weird how she got introduced to him, and like was a job interview,
Oh, right.
and then it's like I don't know. There's just so many holes in that story, and
Yeah, that was just, they're
but the whole
weird. They're
thing
such
was
fucking
weird.
weird people.
I'm just like, what is happening?
And then
Like,
fucking Jesse Waters is, you know, I wouldn't listen to him because I hate him. But he, and I really don't want to hate anyone. You know what I mean? Like, I hate being in the hate. But he made her sound like a terrorist because she was gay. And, you know, I just want to point out, let's see, can I do this? I might make some funny little noises, but I want to play what I guess AOC was asked by a Fox News producer if she would go on the Jesse Waters show. And she's so awesome. So you just have to give me a sec. Okay, here it is. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Let me get it all to. Here we go.
He has sexualized me on his show. He has sexually harassed me on his show. He has engaged in horrific, sexually exploitative.
That's not your time, woman.
It's true. It is true because he accused me of sleeping, of wanting to quote unquote sleep with Stephen Miller. So why don't you tell me what you think is acceptable to tell a woman? Thank you.
She just walks away from him.
I fucking love her. I love her.
Me too.
She
I do.
says what needs to be said, and she says it in a way that's just amazing. I love her.
Yeah, and then, you know, I posted on social media that I think it was like back in 2019, Alyssa Milano had suggested doing a sex strike, and I just have to put it out there that she did it to get attention. She wasn't actually expecting that to happen, but she wanted to bring attention to abortion. legislation that had come up anyway. So she suggested a sex strike, and I was defending it, and I was kind of like, promoting and amplifying. So I got an email from the
By the
Jesse
way,
Waters show, yeah,
I
to have me
definitely
on.
did not sleep with men. I will definitely do that for the team. I will not sleep with any men. I will withhold sex from men for as long as necessary.
Yeah, so but I replied, and I just basically, there was a segment where Jesse went out on the street and was being incredibly cruel and demeaning to homeless people. So I brought that up, and then I said, I also will never go on a hate for profit network. And so that's how I responded to that. But I kind of felt like in great
Perfect.
company that I also said, fuck you, Jesse Waters. So I
Yeah.
love AOC. She's just, that's what I love about her. Oh my God. Okay, now I'm gonna ask you something. See, I took these notes and I told you what they would be, and I shouldn't have because now I just thought of something new. But I want to ask you about this because this is concerning me. And one of the things that I appreciate about you is you're a small C conservative. You're not, I
Yeah.
mean, you're a liberal, but you're like conservative in that you are. I don't even know how I would describe it. You're more conservative than I am, but not conservative in a political way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I need to hear more.
Okay, well, let's
I'm
basically.
definitely liberal, that's for sure, but
Well, I mean, okay, so then maybe just forget everything I just said about your small c conservatism. Whatever.
mean, I'm
You're
a
a
gun
liberal. I know
owner.
you're a liberal.
That
But
doesn't make me
what I'm
conservative.
concerned about is that, I'm not getting in on not even going to weigh in on the Democratic behavior. I'm just going to talk about let's look at New York and let's look at Virginia, that election, right? So we saw Mamdani and we saw Abigail Spanberger win. Now,
Yep.
they're very different kinds of candidates, although they did run on the same message, which is affordability. But
Yep.
obviously, someone who's going to be elected in Kentucky is not necessarily going to be elected in New York or California and vice versa. And so what I'm seeing right now, especially with the, everybody's, and I've played along a little bit because I think Mark Kelly might be an interesting choice for 2028. And I
Agree.
know we're not supposed to get there until we finish, the midterms and all that shit. But we're also hungry for new leadership that we can't help but speculate and look at what's going on. So what I'm seeing though is there is some critique of the way some of the Democrats are handling the fascists because there are a group of voters who do not like, they want more oomph. We realize that, you can't legislate, but you don't have to vote for the nominees. You don't have to vote for some of the legislation that the GOP is putting through, and they are. There are some Democrats that are disappointing. And once again, I'm seeing that purity versus, the small C conservative D people that are more like, I don't even, I'm trying to think of someone right now that would be a little bit more conservative in the Democratic Party. But it's like I'm already seeing the purity shit starting for 2028 is the whole point of this.
Like a Seth Moulton, that kind of
Yes.
thing. Yeah,
And it's concerning me because I feel like we can't keep fucking doing this. And I totally get that because I'm really progressive. I'm probably about as progressive as they come. But I also understand, the way I view the world is not going to be the same way somebody in Kentucky or in Alabama or whatever views the world. So I understand that. And I'm willing to take, small steps over time, incremental steps, whereas the purists aren't. And I'm just, I don't even know what to say about that other than it frustrates me. And I think as influencers, we can't allow that messaging to permeate in the way that we have. And I don't even know, is that something that you're seeing? Is that something you're concerned about? Because even though the presidential election is still a good time away, that fucking conversation has already started. Have you been seeing it?
I've been seeing it a little bit locally too. Just like the super progressives, not wanting to be behind candidates that have been there a while, that kind of thing. I get it, but it's kind of like right now we need to win. We need to win. and we need the best, like for New York City, Mamdani was a great candidate for because he could rally New York City. Same with Abigail Spanberger in Virginia, same with Mikey Sherrill in New Jersey. And they all ran differently and they all won. And that's what we need to choose winners. And I sound like Trump when I say that. But it's true. We
We
need to
do.
choose winners and not just go with like our ideological, like, oh, they're not this, this, they're that. And I'm like, well, can they win? Let's do that and then go from there. Because if we lose, like Hillary lost to the, I almost called them the Puritans. The people who were like, we're never gonna vote for Hillary, and like the Jill Stein voters and all of that. It's like, well, they gave us Trump. And something similar happened, in 2024, and it's just like that's not a way to go. Like I would say, like I'm definitely like center left. I wouldn't say, yeah, I would
See, that's what
say,
I would say. Center left. There you go.
yeah, I'm center left. Like how I think about certain things, and I'm not a Bernie person. As much as I love AOC, I don't particularly like Bernie Sanders, but. I do love AOC, and I love how she gets her message out there, and I love that she's a doer and not just a talker. So there's a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, I go back. I always like Bernie's ideas. I
Oh,
don't necessarily like him.
he's a brilliant diagnostician. Like he can
Yes.
tell you what's wrong. He's like a doctor that can be like, you have cancer, and you're like, oh shit, that's terrible. And you're like, well, what do I do about it? He's like, I don't know, but I know you got cancer. And you're like, oh fuck. And then AOC comes along and is like, well, this is what we can do.
Well, I know that I was so fucking angry. I mean, I've been for him, I've been against him, and I've just decided at this point, obviously he's not going to become president. He's not going to run. He's never going to be the president. I'm not worried about that. We have other people that might be similar to him or whatever that might show up in the future, but right now, I'm going to appreciate his messaging for the most part. Sometimes he pisses me off, but I know that Randy Brice is running again and got his he got Bernie's endorsement, and he gets very upset when I yell at Bernie. And it's like, dude, you just gotta let me do it. You just gotta let me yell at him because he's pissing me off. And he's wrong here about whatever I would think he was wrong about. But it's like, I just want to be really clear for those, I love Randy Brice. I think he's awesome. He's also a wonderful progressive, and he's Iron Stash. He's the iron worker. What do
Yeah,
you
I know
remember
Randy. Yeah.
what state is he in? Can you remember? I can't remember which state.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, there you go. So I don't know. I mean, I hope that he wins because I like him. But yeah, I'm totally with you on the Bernie thing, and I love AOC, and I don't know. This whole thing is concerning me. I will say this though, I'm gonna play devil's advocate to my own fear, which is, I think one of the things that's going to benefit us in this election, not, moving forward, it's really going to be important that we elect people who make sweeping changes. We have to have sweeping changes. We can't keep doing what we're doing over and over again and then have like a Democrat win just because of all the horrible things Republicans have done. But I was just going to say that I think that's where we're headed, right? I think we're going to have an amazing midterm because the Republicans are so bad. But I
No, it
want to
is.
have an
Yeah, for sure.
amazing, yeah, I want to have an amazing general because the Democrats are so good. I don't want it to be because the Republicans have just destroyed us so deeply that, okay, we have to vote for the Democrats now, and then we get 4 years of Democrats and then forget and don't change anything and have a wretched Supreme Court and all of it and go right back to this again with a smart fucking fascist who will seal the deal. Because I don't think the deal is sealed right now, as awful as it is. I think it's important to expect that this year, leading up to these midterms, we are going to see some shit.
We are.
And it's going to be worse than what we've seen. It's going to be more of what we've seen. But it's going to be faster and more furious and more angry and more violent. And because of this, I hate putting this out in the world, but I think we can safely say that there are going to be protests for this woman who was murdered by ICE. And likely we're going to see that whole bad actor from the right starting, you know, violence, and then they're going to try to justify whatever they're going to do. Is it going to be martial law? I don't know. Is it, you know, what are they going to do? I don't know. But they are, I think what their goal is to rile us up into being violent so that they can use their
That's what they
violent
want.
force. That's
That's
what they want.
exactly what they want. They're trying to push the narrative that she was driving into him to say that she was violent so that they can use lethal force.
There you
And
go.
that's exactly what they want to do. And that's exactly what Trump is going to eventually call martial law. And there's not, and I, my fear is that there's not going to be a midterms. That is
We're gonna have,
that's my
I
fear.
think, well, the thing with the midterms, and I know what you're meaning. I know it's everybody's fear. I don't think that's gonna happen because the, I know how I don't know. I guess I can't explain why. I just don't think we're gonna have that scenario happen. But I don't know. I don't know. So I'm not making a prediction. I'm doubting it. I'm thinking that we're gonna have elections. I don't. And I think that providing those elections happen. I believe they, for the most part, there's going to be cheating because they always cheat.
Oh,
But
100%.
yeah, I mean, there's going to be legal cheating, there's going to be illegal cheating and all of it. But I have a feeling that it's going to be like it was in 2018, we're, except bigger. I think we're going to have a much bigger, you know, electorate come out.
I saw it last, even here locally, I saw it last fall and for 2025,
Right.
like Democrats swept, like swept.
Yeah.
We swept the school board. We swept like all our local tickets. We swept mayor. I made a joke because I already mentioned how much I don't like that mayor. But I was like, we could have run a garden gnome with a D next to his name, and he would have won. And it's true.
Right.
It's true. Yeah, and I think that's going to happen this fall too.
Yeah, I think it will. And then, you know, I mean, who knows where we're going to go after that? But I think that because of all of that, yeah, we could absolutely expect. I know I must have been going off into a tangent and then I forgot. So whatever I was talking about. But still, ultimately, I do think that, you know, we're going to be in a position next year, and I hope, because mostly I hear that we're going to take the House back, and I have heard a few people suggest that, you know, possibly the Senate could be in play. In fact, there is a small chance, and please, small chance, that we could fucking have a Democratic majority in the House before the fucking midterms.
We could.
We could. I mean, it's there. There are special elections. Somebody. I mean, I know he was in
Yeah.
a red district, but a Republican just passed away unexpectedly, and it was
Yeah.
somewhere in California, I think Northern California.
And Marjorie
But
Taylor Greene just left, and
she just left. Yeah, and
Sean
there's.
Harris is running in that race, and he is great.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in some of the red states, they're just going to be replaced by other red. But you don't know because the thing is like, let's look at 2020. And we had 8 million people, basically 8 million more people voting for Biden. And the reason was because they fucking hated Trump. And he, at that time, there were guardrails. There's no guardrails now. So yeah, I think those people who voted, you know, and then they didn't show up for Kamala Harris. I know that there were all kinds of shit. You know, there are people that swear up and down that that election was stolen, and that's, you know, I always go for the. To me, it's just obvious. They just cheat. They always cheat,
They cheat, and this
and
country hates women. They hate
yeah, they
women.
hate. It's a combination.
Yeah.
They cheat and they hate women and they hate black women. Even though black
Oh,
women, well,
yeah.
black women are like fucking holding us all up. But
No,
and
the only
I'm not
reason we're at all together is because of black women. They owe,
right, and
we
I'm
owe
not
them
meaning.
everything.
Yeah, I don't mean to say that like I'm just relying on the black women to, so I'm just saying that we keep
We
relying on
might
the
be.
black women and
We
we
shouldn't
need,
be.
yes, we should
Yeah.
all fucking be helping her, but that's a whole nother conversation. Oh my God, it just, I don't know. I do have hope, and I think we're, you know, there is a possibility that we could go all the way blue. Like I said, you know, 2018 was massive, right? It was big. It was the difference between tw the 2014 midterm and the 2018, it was like the lowest turnout in 80 years in 2014, and then general election turnout in 2018. So I think that 2026 is going to be huge for Democrats. But
I
it's
agree.
not going to be because Democrats, I mean, yes, it's going to be in part because Democrats, we make better laws and we're kinder and we basically come from a loving place because we want to take care of people. And I do know that that's part of the reason. But really, it's like it can't only be because Trump is bad, Republicans are bad. It has to be because the Democrats have not only sold themselves as the party who takes care of you, but this guy, Scott Jennings, I believe he is the, I couldn't believe he said this, but I looked him up, and it is the Jeopardy guy, right? The guy who hosts Jeopardy. And he said, the prosecute the former regime at every level candidate has my vote in 2028. And that's it. The Democrats have to stop worrying about what things look like and if Republicans are going to do it, if they do it. We have to expand the court. We have to have sweeping, progressive, all kinds of different changes to make
Agree.
sure people have health care. God, all we have to do is get enough Democrats in there to put in a public option to get Medicare for All started. And, I mean,
Seriously.
there's so many things that they need to do. And as much as Biden did, and he did a lot, he just didn't brag about it as much as,
That's
his,
Democrats' problem right there,
yeah.
is they don't brag enough.
No, we
Honestly,
need to
like,
fucking
we
brag.
literally have done every policy since World War II that's been better for this country has been from Democrats.
Yes.
Literally all of them. And every shitty one has been from Republicans. So it's like, brag about that. Brag about the post-9/11 GI Bill. Brag about Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and SNAP, and brag about making sure people,
Get their
I cannot
college, yeah, get their college debt paid off.
get their college debt. Yeah, brag about these things. Like, Trump brags about shit he hasn't done.
He brags about shit Biden did and took credit for it.
Yeah, and it's same with Obama. Like
Yeah.
the Veterans Choice health thing. That was all Obama. What he did was just put a new name on it and say, "Look what I did."
Yeah.
And you're like, "No, you didn't, you asshole. You, yeah." That was
But
in
that, you know, but
2014.
that, but voters, you know, you just, voters aren't paying attention, or they just look at the very surface and they
Oh,
don't
I
go
know.
deeper. And they just, you know, I don't understand that. But I guess the bottom line is, as long as people are uncomfortable, people just have to be uncomfortable. And I think that the more uncomfortable we are, that bodes better for us in the long run. Because if we're comfortable enough, then we don't do enough. I mean, it's just playing out. We can see it. And yeah, I mean, the reason Democrats lost, and I hate saying this, it's not because the time wasn't long enough that, you know, I've heard people say, oh, it was just 3 months and it wasn't long enough. It was long enough. It's that she was black and she was a woman and she was really accomplished. And fucking, there's a huge swath of this country that just can't handle that.
Oh, God,
And they
no.
want to turn her into a whore, and they want to turn her into all these horrible things, and none of this shit would be going on. You know, she was going to give fucking first-time homeowners $25,000 towards your new house.
Yep.
And instead, this fucking woman is murdered by this Gestapo fucking Nazi.
Yeah.
And God, and we haven't even talked about fucking Venezuela and Greenland. But I just want to say about that, it's clearly an effort to, you know, get three massive superpowers controlling everything. Oligarchy rule for the world, for the planet. That's what they want
Control
to
all
do.
the energy sources. And
Yes.
if you look, yeah, if you look at all the minerals in Greenland too,
Right.
like that's what it's all, it's, and warm water ports.
Yeah.
That's, Russia with Ukraine. Yeah, it's, they want to control the world. And my saying it's my hemisphere, like that is a direct, but that's like directly going against like NATO. Like
Right.
it's like a, it's spitting in their face,
Yeah.
basically being like, fuck you. Like, we're going to do this anyway.
And then, God, we haven't even talked about Epstein, but this whole thing about like attacking Venezuela as a distraction, I just want to say that no, it's just another crime. And if you dismiss it as a distraction, you're not taking what's happening seriously enough.
Yeah, exactly. And
It's,
we can
I
walk
mean,
and chew gum. Yeah,
yeah,
he's.
and of course everything he does is like, everything is a distraction, nothing is a distraction. I keep saying that. It's like everything is a fucking distraction. Of
That's
course
just
he just,
it.
yeah, he
Yeah.
doesn't want us talking about Epstein. He doesn't want us talking about this woman who was killed. He doesn't want us talking about whatever. But he just keeps throwing crime bombs at us. Everything, crime, 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 breaking the law, breaking the law. And then, you know, maybe a judge comes along and says, oh, you can't do that. And they're like, fuck you, we don't care, we're just gonna keep doing it. And, you know, although I have to say that I think it was in Chicago, Trump gave up on ICE. Did you see that?
I
Am I
did.
getting that
Yep.
right? He like decided, fuck it, I'm not going to do it. But he's going to do it elsewhere. So, you know, we just, the bottom line is, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess this, you know, I question my role in all of this. I've got a podcast and I'm not trying to solve anything. I guess I just, you know, we're talking it through. We're all going through this together. None of us have had to experience this before. I mean, unless you're an immigrant who escaped from a country, from a shithole country, as Trump likes to call it. If you escaped from a horrible country, now you're in this shithole country. And you already have been through it, but we haven't. We haven't lived through this shit. And
My favorite is him saying Scandinavian countries, you're welcome here. And I'm like, why the fuck would they come
why would
here?
they want to come here?
Yeah. They
Like,
wouldn't want
I
to
mean,
come.
how obvious is that? Hi, white people. We
Yeah.
love you.
And South Africa. Yeah. It's so obvious.
Oh
It's
my
just,
God, it's so gross.
it's absurd. Well, he's gotten by his whole life. It's like he had the book, The Art of the Deal. It should have been The Art of the Con. He's a
Yes.
con man. Everything out of his mouth is trying to sell you something. Sell you on a lie, sell you on this, sell you on that. And he's a con man. And he's conned a good 38% of this country, I would
Yeah.
say. I would say.
Well, yeah, because there was, I think so many of them have anger issues or, you know, just issues in general. They feel that they're victims. They feel that they've somehow been slighted by life. And then you have people on the right, like Rush Limbaugh and, you know, Donald Trump, blaming everybody else. Here, look at that. Look at that person. They're the reason you're angry. Go hate them. And then, you know, they say okay. And then the cult is born. And I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what, because this cult is kind of, you know, did you hear? I'm just going off into tangents now, and I know we have to end soon, but I think it was during the break. It was during the Christmas break. I saw this story about, God, I wish I could remember. There's a term for it, but there was this guy who's like evidently the new darling of the right, who started off looking a certain way, didn't like the way he looked. So he takes meth and he takes steroids and he believes he's improving his physical appearance. I know he works out and everything, but so he. And I guess he was just interviewed on a couple of right-wing shows, and he's like their new favorite. And he and Nick Fuentes, who is a white supremacist and hates, does not like Donald Trump, have said that they're going to be voting for Gavin Newsom in 2028 because he's good-looking and JD is fat and ugly.
These guys are gay. And I'm not saying that to be like, I'm not saying that to be
You're
like your
gay.
insult. I'm a big old dyke. So like,
I'm a
I'm
big
not,
old dyke.
I am, I'm tall and I'm old. So, but like, I'm just like, what? That's like the gayest thing to say. Like, I'm like, what that? Like, that's just super gay. Like to be like, oh, we're voting for the
Yeah, I mean,
most handsome guy. I'm like,
it's
oh,
disgusting. It's so
okay.
disgusting what these people are doing. I mean, it's like with this, it's like morphing. MAGA is morphing into this. I don't even know. I don't even know. I don't, you know, it's so funny because Bob and I are always talking about the internet and where things are going to go. And I, you know, I was telling him last night, I don't know where this is all going to go, but we keep seeing people complaining about how the internet is making everything worse. And I remember when chat rooms first, you know, when we first became aware of chat room, it was like AOL chat rooms, and it was so much fun. And everybody was like, oh my God, oh my God. And you could talk to people from across the world. And, you know, it was like, it was amazing. And then they just devolved into these like 4chan nightmares. Didn't take long. And it seems that's kind of what happened with our internet, right? It's like initially, it's like, oh my God, this is so wonderful. Look at all the things that we can share and we can make all these connections. And then now it's like Grok is creating pictures, like Grok is the Twitter AI machine.
It's
Is like
awful.
creating pictures of children, scantily clad children.
It's just terrible. Yeah,
Yeah.
people were making images of the woman who died yesterday too. It's just
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I
it's
don't understand the
disgusting.
kind of human. You start to understand how Trump got elected because you
Right.
have these like shitty humans on the planet. You're just like, I
Yeah. I mean, it's
yeah.
beyond us. Bob and I
Yeah.
are watching Succession again for the second time. And I mean, it's. Wow. I think the only way we can handle it is that they do not romanticize these people, that they
Yeah.
really expose them for how disgusting and gross they are. And every time, did you see Succession?
Oh yeah, I watched it.
So, Roman, who is Culkin, Kieran Culkin,
Karen Culkin, yeah.
reminds me so much of Stephen Miller. Like every time I see Stephen Miller, I just think of Roman Roy, and they're similar. I think Stephen Miller's worse
Oh
because
yeah,
he
he's
is
awful.
probably the worst human on the planet right
I
now.
agree. He is the worst human on the planet.
But that, there's this like chaotic energy that both of them have, and it's kind of weird to be watching the show. I mean, it's such a fucking good show, and like I said, it's the second time when it first came out, Bob didn't want to watch it because it was during, I think it was during Trump's years, and he just was like, I just can't do it. But we've already watched it once, and like I said, we're doing it again, and now it's kind of weird because you've got this patriarch of the family who's not well, and it's like Trump. I mean, I know that it's like the Murdoch family, very, very close to the Murdoch family, but I think it's a combination of Trumps and Murdochs.
I think that's
And
exactly it. Yeah. Because then you have the one who reminds you so much of Don Jr.
right. Yes,
Yep.
Kendall.
Yep.
He's such a dork. But Kendall, I mean, I would rather have Kendall than Don Jr. Kendall at least is, I don't know. He tries. Don Jr. doesn't even try. He's like, yeah, I'll be fascist. I don't care. I'll be
Yeah.
fascist. I'll be fascist for the money, but it's such a fucking good show anyway. I know I've been going off into tangents, and I don't know. I just feel like I can't solve any of the problems, and I think that starting last year, I just thought, what is my role here? Not that I ever thought I had this big role, but I mean, I was doing my thing and going along in a certain way, and then 2024 happened, and it just like completely changed how I saw everything. And I know everybody broke off and went to Substack, and I already had a Substack, but I just like I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be, and I'm not criticizing anyone who does Substack. We need it right now. We need all that independent journalism, but that's the whole point. Like everyone went there. And I just thought I don't want to compete. I don't want to be snarky all the time, and that's kind of my forte, especially in writing, and it's like I don't want to do that. And so I'm still kind of figuring out what is my role here. And I'll just end it with this, that I want to take what I've learned from my own personal efforts in trying to, figure out who I am and deal with the difficulties in life. I'm going to try to relay what I've learned and kind of bring it over into the political, because I don't want people to only view the negative. There's a lot of negative, but there's a way that we can navigate through that negative that can get us out of it. There's there's always a choice that we have as voters, as just individuals. And we can look and see, we can choose to find the happiness in our own personal lives and get the rest we need, get the nutrients we need, do all the things we need to keep ourselves healthy and whole. And then we have to collectively deal with all this horror. And let's be there for each other, and let's try to not, like, I'm not going to be a sarcastic, knee-jerk sarcastic when I see somebody who I think might misinterpret me. Or, like, for instance, the other day I posted something about the military, that it's scary that they went along with the Venezuela thing. And so somebody quote tweeted me and they said, if you expect the military to save us, you're crazy, blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't tell if that person was being condescending to me personally or if they were making a general statement. My first reaction was to kind of come at them with an attitude because I felt insulted. But I thought, wait a minute, there's no nuance here. I don't know exactly what, so I just asked. I did tell them it appeared rude, but I said, I don't know if that's just you meant it differently and I read it this way. So that they came back and I wasn't rude to them. I just let them know that it sounded rude to me. And they said, I apologize. I was not aiming that at you. So it's like sometimes we automatically jump into that defensive, sarcastic mode with each other. And I'm really making the effort to not do that. And it's not easy, and I can't promise I'll always be 100%, but I that's what I'm trying to do this year. I'm trying to use what I've learned that helps me cope and kind of just throw it out there because literally Love is all that matters. And I'm going to say it again, Harriet Tubman's actions came from love. It was the loving thing to do. It wasn't that she was some pushover or some flower child who wasn't looking at reality. She was, and I don't mean to diss flower children, but I'm just, going with that stereotype. I just want to reiterate that when I say love is all that mattered, it's not a Pollyanna way of looking things. Democrats legislate out of love because it's taking care of each other. It's making sure the people who are sick, eat and have a place to live. That's
That's
love.
right. That's right.
So, I mean, I feel like we need to keep our focus on being loving toward each other. And that's what I'm gonna do. So, that's my role. That's I'm just taking on, like I'm trying to figure out my role here. And that's the best I got.
I think that's great. And the Harriet Tubman thing is great because she did what needed to be done.
Yeah. And you can't write her off as a Pollyanna.
Yeah, you have to just be like, yeah, sometimes we gotta fucking do this. Like, we gotta do this. We don't really have an option not to.
Right. Well, we
So
do. We could just lay over and
we
let
could
them
let you,
steamroll
well,
over us.
exactly. Yeah.
So, no, fuck that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much for being my first guest on my first show of
Of course, my pleasure, my
the
honor. I
year. Where are you? Where are you on the socials?
am at Sarah Wood Writer on most things, and then at Sarah Wood on Blue Sky.
Awesome. Follow her, everybody. You probably already do. You have more followers than I do now. You have so many followers. How many followers do you have?
On Blue Sky, like 135 or something like
Look at you, Miss
that.
Thang.
I
All right. Well, New Year. And although I have a happy New Year and do what you can for yourself, find your happiness in this New Year. We have to. Thank you, Sarah. It's always great talking to you.
Likewise.
I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question, where curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform, and remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.